Connecting Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. When you ask a question in the chat room, please make sure that you've logged into the chat and go. That's the set name at the bottom, that you have a nickname, and that you ask one question in all caps. That makes it easiest for us to collect. Thank you. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests, and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh,
hello,
yes.
JP.
Hello, Simon. Hello, Simon. What a week. Sorry about that, everybody. I just, I was completely out all day. Mind you, I've probably got a good night's sleep. How are you? It's been a pretty intense week, eh?
I would say that that is very unusual for you, JP, and perhaps someone doesn't want the radio show to go ahead. Did you want to sort of go and get things sorted while I just give my announcements?
Please, I need to put the chickens to bed and everything. All right, I'll see you in a little while. Enjoy your
time. Just take it easy. Well, first of all, that was amazing. JP is always on time, and the clock ticked up to 3 minutes to 2 minutes to 1 minute to. I thought, well, something's fairly serious. But anyway, it's only that he was asleep. So while he goes and puts the chickens to bed, as he said, and that conjures up some very strange pictures in my mind, let me just first of all say that this is not the last show before Christmas. I thought it was. But we do have another one on the 18th of December. So I do intend to do that. So hopefully people will be able to listen into that. But as it's December, and I thought it would be a good idea to look back a little bit on what sort of a year we've had and what the issues are and how it's developed. And just really sort of try and bring a few things together with some up-to-date news. So I'll just mix it in and just take it as it comes, eh? There's been a lot of debate about WikiLeaks, Julian Assange. And the last few days, there's been a great hiatus on the alternative news that maybe the CIA have taken him and they're torturing him. And I wish people would have a look at my website, because I wrote a number of days or weeks back now that there'd been a very big activity outside the embassy and that somebody had been taken out, literally carried out on a stretcher. So it was no great surprise to me that the dead man's handle or the dead switch on the internet had been activated and WikiLeaks messages had gone out. And it was no surprise to me that what they're calling they've asked for proof of life has not been given. But I do want to put some elements straight here. It's not that, you know, my sources are better than anyone else's, and that's a game that I don't want to get into. But certainly, if you are nearer to the noise, then maybe you hear more clearly what that noise is. It's a fact that Obama stroke the Clintons really wanted Julian Assange out of the way. And when it became fairly obvious that there was a real chance back in October that the Democrats would lose the election in America, there was a possibility. They didn't think they would, but there was a possibility. And Obama decided that as the last thing of his presidency, he would try and deal with WikiLeaks once and for all. Now, the director, you won't find this on any sites on the internet, but I can tell you that the director of the CIA refused to carry out a hit on Julian Assange. So a team was dispatched to capture him, but I can tell you that that was not CIA, it was private security firms. However, the CIA nominally respond to what they call the executive, which is the president. And so what the CIA director had to do was to allow the infrastructure of the CIA and the information of the CIA to be used. But no agents of the CIA actually physically took part in that. However, there's a counter-operation that was run by members of the CIA to try to spirit Julian Assange out of the embassy before the other side got to him. I mean, it is like a farce. It's like a television soap opera. It's like a play and a theatre, something that Shakespeare would write. You have one arm of government trying to, I'll say, kill Julian Assange, but to get him, and the other half trying not to. It's very difficult for the CIA at the moment because Donald Trump doesn't become President of the United States until January. So technically, the old guard is still in power. So this is a very, very difficult in limbo space. So I just wanted to make that clear. I haven't got any direct news on Assange because I just haven't asked for it. There's a few other bits and pieces taking my attention at the moment. But if people start saying, as they have to me, that the CIA are torturing Julian Assange, that's not true. Okay? With a new president coming in just weeks away, the CIA would not set themselves up to do something that the new president would come in and then, you know, have them in court. We have to understand that WikiLeaks was used to bring down the Clintons. So why would the CIA turn against the very man that they, working with the FBI, used to prevent the Clintons from regaining power? So people need to think about that a little bit. All right, let's talk about the situation generally now. Somebody wrote to me recently and said, you know, Simon, I listen to you because the information you give has always come right. And I never even thought about it. So I looked back and I thought, my goodness, everything that I have actually said has come to pass. Now, I don't keep a record. You know, I just give the information and that's the way it is. And I thought, well, actually, that's really good. I'm glad about that because it means that I'm on track. And I will never, ever charge for my information. WikiLeaks now are charging for their information. And there are some websites that you can get some information free. And then when you want a bit more detail, you have to pay for it. And my view is that's not what this is about. I survive entirely on donations. I don't have a paid job. And I'm not going to charge for my information because it's my personal opinion that that makes me as bad as the very people who say, oh, you know, Babylon, the money system, all these people out for themselves. And it's just, as I say, it's a personal thing that I would never dream of charging for the information because I want everyone to have that info and then to do with it what they want. So I do survive entirely on donations. And while JP's out the way, putting the chickens to bed, and as it's the 12 days of Christmas, I'm going to give 12 names, just the first names of people who have very kindly donated, who keep my head above water. This is just random. Some people have just donated £1. Or a dollar. Some people have donated more than that. So I want to thank Linda, Yosuk, Healing, Bernadette, Ada, Natalie, Ronald, Raymond, Eleanor, Susanna, James, and Yua. So those are 12 names, and on the 18th of December I'll do another 12 days of Christmas. There are lots of people who have donated and I haven't given the name out. But maybe their name might come out on the next one. I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for making it possible for me to to keep going and to put the information out there and to survive, basically. And I will never charge for the information. So let's talk about the financial situation, because I said there would be a financial collapse October, November. And, you know, being critical, I could say, well, where's that financial collapse, Simon? Well, the reality is that everyone who listens to this radio show is a spiritual awake person, and they will know that we came very close to it. In fact, we came within 12 hours of a financial meltdown in Europe, which would definitely have hit the Americas within 2 days or 3 days. That's why the Chinese government now owns one quarter of Deutsche Bank. The Chinese don't give a fig about saving Europe. But they did want control of the premier bank in Central Europe. That's why the Chinese now have a quarter stake in a very important bank. That's why Deutsche Bank didn't go down. Now, today, Sunday, there's a very, very important vote taking place in Italy. Italy, of course, the home of the Vatican. It's a very important country. It's the third largest euro country within the European Union in terms of growth and money. And the Prime Minister of Italy said that he wanted to bring some changes in. He's very pro-Europe, and he's put these changes forward, and he said, look, if I lose the vote, I'll resign. A bit like the British Prime Minister. The vote is today, and the information I'm getting back, the polls haven't closed yet. They close at 10 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time tonight, but I'm hearing that it's very close run and he may lose it. Now, he's saying if he loses it, he will resign. The Prime Minister of Italy will resign. They'll find a caretaker Prime Minister, and then they will have a referendum on whether Italy is to leave the European Union, lose the euro and return to the lira. Now, if Italy follows Great Britain with a Brit exit, that is the death of the European Union. It is the death of what I call the European government, the one European government. It's not quite a one world government. So we have a situation where the people of different countries are saying enough is enough. We are not going to be pushed around. We're not going to play games. We're sick of being dictated to. We can see how badly we're being treated. And we're going to do everything we can to make a change. So I do predict, as it stands at the moment, that Italy could vote no against the changes of the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister should most properly resign, be replaced by a caretaker. Then you've got a few weeks or months, then a vote to leave Europe. I think the Italian people will vote to leave Europe, and I think they will vote to go back to the lira. Because remember that Greece is a neighbour of Italy, and when Greece went through that terrible, terrible financial disaster, it had a big effect on Italy. You must understand also that the unemployment rates in Spain, Italy and Greece are the highest anywhere in the European countries. You've got young people under 25, massive numbers of unemployment. So that's a really important thing. So we're not out of the woods. I still predict economic difficulties. I've never gone back on that. The other thing that always made me laugh was Nibiru. Sort of June, July, August, September, there was a lot of stuff on the internet about Nibiru is going to, if it won't hit the planet, it will come so close it will cause a major disasters. And I consistently on this radio show and elsewhere said, no, it's not going to happen. And people were saying to me, you know, I can see Nibiru, and saying, well, you know, you can't. You can't. Nibiru does exist, but it's out of your eyesight at the moment. I had a very interesting email from somebody, and they got it spot on. They said they had remote viewed Nibiru, and it would appear to be unoccupied and an artificial intelligence controlled orb. To which I said, that's just about spot on. Well done, you got that right. So, you know, when giving information, if people have information, they should really think carefully before they go down the it's the end, you know, we're going to be destroyed, there's going to be massive numbers dead. You know, people live in cities on the east coast of America, for goodness sake. They have children and loved ones, and it's, people don't seem to realize that when they write something or they make a statement, the effect that has. You know, I get asked by people in different places, you know, will my kids be okay? You know, what will happen? When should I travel? Because no one else is giving any real on the button information. Because had they listened to all that nonsense, then nobody would have gone to visit their grandparents or their children over that period of time. And it was safe, and it's been proved to be safe. Nibiru will not strike this planet. This planet is one of the most beautiful creations anywhere in the multiverse. And there are a lot of people looking out for this planet. Perhaps not looking out for the humans as much as they should, but they're looking out for the biodiversity of the planet, and they won't let something like that occur. So, you know, at the end of the year, we're not going to be destroyed. We're going to go and have our holiday period, our Christmas. The elite have decided to try and keep the wagon rolling from the economic side, because lots of their friends in the big corporations make all their money at Christmas. And if there was to be a bit of a hitch now, it would really dent, many, many of these big companies would have to fold in January, February, March. So, they've done everything they can to keep this economy ticking over. I do predict that the major Italian bank in January, may have to do a bail-in. In other words, it may have to do what they did in Greece, which is steal money out of people's accounts. And the money that China has provided for Deutsche Bank may not be enough beyond January. So I think December will be all right, but in January we should watch the economic side of it. I'm just going to check with JP. Have you put the chickens to bed? Are you back?
The chickens are all in bed. Excellent. The stove is lit. The tea is made. That's the important stuff, you know.
I'm delighted that you're awake.
Yeah, so am I. Awake and aware. Well, awake and slightly dreamy. But, yeah, so there's been so much, revelations in different fields now. I mean, we knew about politics and we knew that there was child trafficking going on there. But now there's, revelations that football teams are also hotbeds. And now when you start thinking about it, who has access to our children? All of these groups we know about, Scoutmasters and all that, you know, that's an old thing. But, the football and the, and well, you know, there's this whole Pizzagate thing going on as well. That's all coming out. How are the elite dealing with that?
Well, in many cases, what happens is that, imagine a dam, and we'll call the dam the elite, and the amount of water pressure building up and building up exceeds the ability of the dam to hold it back. But what they do is a controlled release. So a good example would be Jimmy Savile. They waited until Jimmy Savile was dead before they allowed part of the dam to break to let it out. And in many cases, an interesting one for me is, of course, the Ted Heath, ex-British Prime Minister. The senior police officer, I will come back to the football, JP, but the Ted Heath one is very important. The senior police officer leading it was lent on, and all credit to him, said, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to investigate this because there is credible evidence. And as it stands at the moment, the senior police officer has some very, very credible evidence, not just about Ted Heath, but about other ex-government ministers. The sad news will be, I think, that many of these people are already dead or passed on. To be polite, which means that there'll be no court case. So what the elite do is they try and hold it back while these key people are still alive, and then when they finally pass on, then they release the information. But it's still a good sign, because 20 years ago, none of this would ever have got out. With the footballs, what the elite tend to do is you're quite right, they look at organizations that engage with children. So it might be Walt Disney, it could be any of the Hollywood films, it could be, as you said, the Scouts, it could be the Church, Catholic Church, terrible for it. And all of these organizations have a legitimate, in law, access to children through Sunday schools or special clubs. And the parents of the children quite happily and unwittingly take the children along, thinking they're doing something good, not ever once believing that evil people have infiltrated these organizations, and they're not just operating one on their own. That's what the elite and the establishment would like to tell you. I'm telling you that there's a controlled, organized, coordinated operation in all these organizations. And so, yes, I'm really pleased that this has come out. But you know what? When you find poison, you need to trace it back to where it's coming from. And that's not happening because the elite are still in control. And that brings me to the point where I'm getting rather tired of people saying to me, ooh, the reptiles are all off the planet. Ooh, the old baddies are all gone. It's just us now. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because if it was just us, we'd have all the truth out in a whole week. In 1 week, we'd be hit with boom, 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 all the facts, all the information, all the lies kept from us. That's not happening. It's not happening because the people in control are still there. Yes, they've taken a knock. Yes, they're much more weakened, but they've still got their hands on the steering wheel. So we need to push We need to push it. So parents of children, don't accept what you're being told. Push it. Go to the newspapers. Go to the media. Don't trust the establishment. Yes, I know the media establishment, but they want a story. So they'll actually cause trouble just to get the story. So what I'm saying to people is don't have faith in the system. Don't believe that they'll look after you. Don't believe they'll do it right. Don't trust people like that. Just go in there, and if you think your child's been abused, then fight 100% for it. So yeah, it is coming out and it's the start, but sadly there's a great deal more to come out, JP.
Plenty more where that came from, I would say, in that particular stable. All right, so shall we go into our question and answer section?
Yes, please.
All right, so let's see. First person today is... All right, okay. All right, so this is from Jenny. Hi, Simon. Really interested in how to retrieve the extra strands of DNA... Hang on. What happened there? Sorry. My browser just flipped page for some reason. All right. My first try, I clearly saw a bright white strand surrounded by pink-purple colours. Had no idea what to do, and I struggled to hold the vision.
Right.
In my next attempt, I saw what looked like out in space, multiple clouds of colours with this bright white light darting around. Mm. Haven't had any luck since I can usually see pictures clearly in my mind when I close my eyes. Can you give a detailed answer on how to retrieve the strands?
Yes.
I'm sorry if you've already answered this one before. Really enjoyed listening to your insights.
Oh, no, thank you. It's a question that I would expect to be answered because it's pivotal to the development of humanity, and it's totally misunderstood by so many people. Many countries have carnivals, and there's a particular game where you have like a grabber. You put your money, of course you put your money in the slot, don't you? And then you have a joystick, a control lever, and then an arm comes down and you try to grab the plush toy, the soft toy, and if you can overcome all the tricks of the trade, you can put that and win the toy. Trying to grasp a strand of DNA exactly accurately as the questioner has portrayed is like that. You know, it's just so near and yet so far. First of all, that was a higher human strand. What you've described to me is a potentially fifth or sixth dimensional strand or higher. It's no lower than that. You've described it in two ways. One of the actual intent itself with the swirl around it, and then secondly with the colours as a separate point. I think you probably tried too hard. I think it probably shocked you. You desperately tried to reach out. It's a bit like when you perhaps knock a cup off the table and you sort of hands go everywhere and try to catch it. You don't coordinate it. You weren't expecting that. It will happen again. You'll have an opportunity. And what you need to do is to be ready and practice it. What I'd like you to do is to practice focusing on your mind. There's a meditation which would help you, and it's very common. It's called the candle flame focus, where you meditate on a candle flame. Because what you're trying to do is to obtain a particular item in a particular time and space. Remember, these things don't follow time in the same way that we on this planet have been led to believe. So this is rightfully yours, but you have to be able to connect with it and draw it in. So it's nothing physical. You will have to imagine basically not a claw, as in the carnival game, but you will have to imagine you standing on a hill and the sun shining and you opening your hands and saying, it's time to come home. It's time to come back. But with your mind focusing like a needle ray, almost a pin beam on it. Don't think about anything else. Don't get sidetracked. And you're basically connecting with this part of you that was taken from you and us a very long time ago, and you're drawing that back. If it doesn't work, you get it a little bit in and it drops, don't worry. It's a bit like learning to astral travel. Many people, and myself included, describe it as you flying and then suddenly you drop lower and lower to the ground, and you great big amount of energy and you manage to get yourself up again, but ultimately at some point you drop. So don't worry. It's obviously coming to you. You just have to keep trying. So good luck with that.
a matter of practice, like a lot of things. From Nancy. All right. Simon, my question is just out of curiosity and not for a weird experiment. In the last show, you said the reason the elite drink blood is to take on the traits of that person. How much blood needs to be consumed for this?
Okay. It's funny, you know, when people ask me questions, often they feel they have to justify themselves in some way. But that's because they've been talking to unawake people for too long. I make no judgments about people, except if they're good or bad. And it's a very interesting question, and one that I'm glad you've asked, because you could extrapolate and say, okay, is that why you have blood banks? Is that why hospitals have reserves of blood? Is that why, you know, these elite places have their own hospitals? It leads you on. One question doesn't just give you one answer. It gives you another two, three questions. And that's why we're alive, for goodness sake. That's why people who are, as you said earlier, you know, aware and awake, follow the rabbit hole, if you like. Let's find out where it goes, and let's understand it. You could have a drop of blood on your fingernail, and that would be enough to identify and connect with that person. But for the rituals that take place, then it would be a cup of blood, because there's a difference between sexual energy stroke magic and connecting with the DNA or the life force, the spirit of that individual. So a black magician could literally steal an item of clothing from somebody, just literally remove a hair from it, and the DNA from that one hair is enough for a black magician to attack you psychically. But when we're talking satanic in terms of rituals, then it's more blood that's used. In the fairy tale Sleeping Beauty only pricks her finger on a needle and gets one little drop of blood out. You have to remember that Walt Disney, many of these things are based on history. And if we think that this is only a modern concept, it's not. The ability to connect with another person through their blood goes back many thousands of years. So it's a good question. Thank you.
So it's all about the DNA. Yes, indeed. So back to our database. Here's a very interesting from Samantha and Nathan. Can we get along with jinns ever? Dear Simon, JP and Helpers, thank you for all you do, Simon. Is it ever acceptable to be on semi-friendly terms with jinns? I ask because my partner and I have experienced both bad and sometimes helpful jinn. One helped me find a lost object, others can be pests, and others seem to work on behalf of toxic family members we've had to separate ourselves from. My partner, being Native American, feels he could successfully communicate with them without getting into trouble. We haven't tried for fear of deception. I'm getting better at sensing them, and some feel just curious. Others feel just plain nasty. The ones sent on behalf of family are the most difficult, and any advice on dealing with them?
Yes, the person who's written to you is absolutely 100% genuine. All people are hopefully listening to the show genuine, but what I mean is the person who's written that has genuinely experienced and the partner, and they know what they're talking about. Because what has just been communicated to me, you would not read in a book and you would not pick up on the internet. And, you know, when I attend conferences and things, and people come up and they sort of, you know, start telling me their stories, it's very obvious who is genuine and who isn't. You know, this is a very genuine case. So first of all, then, there's so much that's wrapped up in that. I think you're wise to hold back, and the partner is wise to hold back from communicating with them for the reasons that he or she has given. I laughed during the question because you said that the jinn helped you find something. Now, that's classic. You're absolutely right. There are many tribes of jinn, and that's the correct term, actually. And some are playful, mischievous, some are helpful, in a, if they like you, sort of way, and some are downright unpleasant and dangerous. The question is, which jinn are you connecting with? If jinn come to you, and you're absolutely spot on, because in Muslim countries in particular, you can go and pay somebody to send a jinn against you. Now, the concept in the Western world is hardly understood. But it's very, very common. Many, many family members who feel they've been cheated, whether they have or not, and they will go and pay for a member of the family to be attacked. And that's clearly what you're responding to here. Now, in some imams teach that it is acceptable to engage your jinn to fight the enemy's jinn. My view on that is that you should not engage in that unless you are a particularly powerful, with a long lineage history on this planet. Because if you attempt to engage with energies that you frankly are not capable of engaging with, they will eat you up. They will just devour you. So you cannot walk into the lion's den unless you know that you have, to use the word of Strider, Aragorn in Lord of the Rings, when he used the Palantir to challenge Sauron. And one of the hobbits said, "Oh, even Gandalf wouldn't have used that." And Aragorn replies, "I have both the right and the strength to do so." He said, "The right cannot be questioned, and the strength was enough." And then after a pause, he says, "Barely." And that's the good thing about Aragorn in Lord of the Rings. He wasn't an arrogant man. So Aragorn, but not arrogant. So my advice is, if you are being attacked by jinn, being sent by a family, and you are having other jinns come to you, those jinns are coming to help you. Now, they're coming to help you either because somebody has paid for them to come and help you, or you have a connection over many thousands of years with your own jinn. The rule should always be that if you have a connection with a jinn, they can be around you, but you do not let them into your body. If you let them into your body, then they will take you over. All black magicians have jinns in them. That's how they can create fourth dimensional type magic in a third dimensional world, because they have a symbiotic relationship with a jinn energy that lives in their physical biological body. And that's why slowly but surely black magicians go mad and are desperately unhappy. So back to the question, I really wouldn't engage with it. I would be really careful. It sounds to me that you are, and I don't mean this rudely, you are pawns on a chess game, and a number of different factions are fighting over you. And if you did want to drop me an email, I would be happy to have a private chat with you. So it's a good question, and thank you.
Very interesting. So anybody who's been involved with black magic in the past is likely to have still jinn attachments. Is this what we're debugging from people when people come to me and they say, "Can you get rid of all these attachments?" Is that what they all are?
No, not in all cases. Definitely not in all cases. You could say, you, as is very often the case on this planet, many people who've had past lifetimes in black magic will have been connected during the Renaissance period to Italy, when the Vatican really started to take control. But many people turn their backs on it, but that was like 300 or 400, 500 years hence. So what you can see is ripples. If you throw that rock into that pool, the ripples come out. When people come to help, for help, it is the ripples that you are identifying, and they're still very real, and they are impacting that person because they are the energetic shock waves from something that occurred which they would never do again, because they've evolved, they've moved on from that. But those energy shock waves are part of their body, and they are having to deal with that. That's different from an attachment where somebody has a relationship with a demonic or energy entity that visits them every time they incarnate on the planet. And again, it's not widely understood, that if you have an association with jinn, and you know you pass on and then you're reborn into a baby's body and you grow up, that same jinn will come back to you and it will seek the same agreement. So each time we humans animate on this planet, we have to make choices. And, you know, you might go for 5 or 6 generations saying, yes, I'll work with the jinn. And then one time you think, to heck with this. I don't want anything more to do with them. I've evolved. I've moved on. But you may not actually understand that, but you just don't want to be with them anymore because your vibrational frequency has changed beyond that of the jinn. So what a person might do in a lifetime is say, I no longer want you. Now, they're like a dog that's been around the fireplace for 500 or 600 years, and they don't know what else to do, so they'll keep coming back. And you have to be really strong and say no, but who knows, the next lifetime of mine, I might work with you again. So it's so complicated because, and I don't mean it rudely, Westerners, because they've been lied to and tricked by the establishment for obvious reasons, have no knowledge, really, and no concept of what is commonplace in the Muslim world. And that's why elite governments are terrified of Muslims, not because they're terrorists, they're no more terrorists than anyone else, but because their upbringing and their religion teaches them that there is something that you can't see and that's not God. In fact, it's the opposite to God. So Muslims actually believe there is a force that you can't see, and they call it a jinn. Now, the Western world, we've been taught if you can't see it, it's not real, unless, of course, it's part of the church and it's God. That's okay. That's part of our system. You can believe in that. And remember, I do believe in God, but I don't believe in the God of the church. So there's a hell of a lot of manipulation going on. And when, within my lifetime, the truth about everything is going to come out, this is a big, big topic. And I hope that many people who, I suppose me included, who've battled on and tried to get the truth out on many aspects, but on this one in particular, it would be nice if somebody really, you know, incredibly powerful, wealthy, etc., turns around and says, well, actually, yes, that is the truth, but we didn't want to tell you. That's really, I think, what most of us want. Most of us want these people in power just to be honest. Stop the games. Stop all the silliness. Just actually come out and say, look, we've lied to you. You know, we think the reasons we lied to you were right, but we can't go on like this any longer and want to be truthful. That's all we want. We just want these people to be truthful. I'm not going to go around declaring I want to hang people. You know, there'll be people who've hurt children that I seriously would, you know, consider some pretty awful punishment. But other than that, you know, it's about forgiving and moving on and learning. Because we've got to heal and we've got to get on with this. I just wish people would be damn sight more honest than they are now. So it's a good point. Thank you.
So it's got the kind of like a household pet sort of energy,
yes,
to it. And
it's, yes,
and it's like a jinn is for eternity, not just for life kind of thing.
Yes, Jake.
Yeah.
Except that the jinn sees the human as the pet.
Oh yeah. So that's like having cats then, isn't it?
No, not quite, because cats can't walk through walls.
Oh, really?
Well, mine can't, anyway.
I'm sure somebody said that their cat walked through a wall the other day. Anyway, long story. So, next question from Laurie, L-O-R-E-Y. Simon, has Trump learned about who is running the government, and how is he dealing with what he has learned about the psychopaths?
Right, Trump already knew the truth before he ran for office. it's a terrible indictment on America. Remember, actually, I love the American people and I love the concept of the Constitution. It's just that it's like so many other places, it's just been hijacked. And it's a great indictment that it took a billionaire to become president. And what I mean by that is that he's so fabulously wealthy that nobody could bribe him. He's so fabulously wealthy that nobody could beat him in court. He's so fabulously wealthy that nobody could offer him anything that he would want. I mean, he said, you know, the $400,000 a year job as president, I'm only going to take $1. because I don't need the money. He's now distancing himself from his business arrangements. I wouldn't expect him to give them up, but certainly, yes, distance himself. Now, why did a billionaire become a president who was not part of the establishment, excuse me, because he was so fabulously wealthy that he could stick, as we say in England, two fingers up at the establishment and say, I don't want you, I don't need you. That's how sad it is that an ordinary, average, waged person couldn't even deem to think about being the highest office in the American land, because they would be got at. Anyone else would have been shot, poisoned, clubbed on the head, goodness knows what. But he wasn't, because of his position. So he knew already. He is not a Satanist. Doesn't mean that he won't employ people around him who are, because he is going to need, in the first 3 to 6 months, he's going to need people who are not shy to walk down the dirty corridors. Let me put it to you like that. He won't do it himself, but he needs people who will do that. And he is very aware, actually, of the situation. He wouldn't have got this position had it not been for the help of 75% of the FBI. I'm giving figures away now. 35% of the CIA, and between 10 and 12% of the NSA. So in other words, there were small but sizable portions of the Secret Intelligence Service and of the Federal Bureau who threw their lot in with Trump. And the reason they did that was because humanity is evolving. Remember, if you're American, you are from a country where your wonderful, loved president was shot dead in Dallas. And there are people in the intelligence networks of America who never, ever, ever want to go back to have that forced on the citizens again. It's rather like in this country, the police forces say to every prime minister in Great Britain, again, this isn't on, you won't find this on the internet, I suppose it's not interesting enough, but I think it is, that whenever a new British prime minister comes into office, he or she has meetings, of course, and one of those meetings is with the chief police officers, who say, never, ever, ever use us again as you did against the miners. For people who don't live in Britain, we had a terrible, terrible miners' strike back in the 80s, and the police force were used almost as a private army by the then Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher to really, really go over the top to hurt people. And so it did such a huge damage to the community in Great Britain, although in the south of England people don't understand that, but in the Midlands and the north they do, that the police force say to every incoming Prime Minister, don't you ever do that again. Now, that has had an effect on the Kennedy assassination, or murder is a better word for it, because there are sizable elements of the American intelligence network who actually are sick of all of that, and that's why they supported Trump, because Trump is not a politician. The man's never been in politics. He's a businessman. Yeah, he's a tough businessman. You have to be in the States to survive. But at least he hasn't got his hands dirty. So I've never said to people, go and vote for Trump because he's a good man. What I said, and I'll say it again now, was had Hillary Clinton been elected as President of the United States, there would have been a third world war within 5 to 6 weeks of her taking office. And I know that to be true, and so do the CIA and the National Security Agency, and to a lesser extent the FBI. And that's one of the major reasons they were not prepared to put an American president in who would take their country into utter destruction. That's the major reason, because they knew that the Clintons were looking for a world war. Now, that was the main driver for it. And thank goodness that there are men and women of strength and truth and honesty in the United States, generals and admirals and people of the Air Force, who were prepared to stand up to the executive and say, we're not going to carry the orders out. So a hell of a shot for the Clintons. That's why they moved $1.6 billion of their own private money, drug money, of course, because they were involved in that, offshore to both Switzerland, to be next to the Rothschilds, and to Qatar, where they've got some bases. So the Clintons are ready to cut and run. So a good, and again, another good question. Thank you.
they've fueled their jet up and they're ready to run. But I imagine that there's going to be some people waiting for them at the other end, wherever they're going.
They have a bounty on their heads, both of them. White Dragon Gold.
I think
it's talking about fueling aeroplanes. Is it probably time to fuel up with a cup of tea?
Time for the tea. Yeah, my kettle just boiled. You like Kate Bush? Do you remember Kate Bush?
Not only do I like Kate Bush, but a person who I have communications with was Kate Bush's bodyguard for a period of time.
Oh. What a nice body to guard. That's all I can say.
He was actually incredibly professional. Mm-hmm. He had information for me about the murder of Princess Diana. Mm. But, he did bodyguard Kate Bush. Why? Are you going to play something?
Yeah, Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush. Don't give up. I think it's the best, the best advice. Here you go. Don't give up.
Don't fall asleep while we're away.
I'll try. All right. Well, I don't know why it stopped suddenly there, but there we go. That's enough, it was saying. Simon, are you back with us? Oh, Simon's been disconnected here. Oh, that's interesting. Let's bring him back in. Well,
hello.
Hey, that was a bit strange. The song just stopped, and you went offline. I don't know what the heck's going on. Anyway, so here we are. We're back. Yes, Kate Bush, and that was very interesting. So, from Britain to you to America, and this is actually a question asked by someone in Holland, our dear friend Jan, who sent me this computer here, And also want to thank very much Martin, who sent me a monitor here.
Oh, that's good.
Huge. It's really big and wide for my, old eyeballs. So it's really good. I got a 14 point, I got the questions up here in 14 point. That was great. So how does your name appear on the credit card? Ah, Ariel 14 point. Anyway, meanwhile, here's from John. Hello, Simon and JP. Question. Right, he's got two questions. I'm going to ask two separate questions, right?
Okay.
Standing Rock has been pointed out to be a place with a deep underground base. Am I right that all the stress above by the protesters is juice to be sucked up by the inhabitants below ground?
I can't quite go along with that. There are many sorts of energy that people release. And when groups of people work together, depending on what they're doing, the energy they release obviously is either good intent or bad intent. And if it's of good intent, then bad people can't use it. Or bad energies or bad beings can't actually do anything with that. They can't manipulate that. They can't feed off it. If we were thinking about the black pipeline, the snake pipeline, many, many people have, voiced their anger and their determination to support indigenous native peoples. And I thought it was wonderful when, in that particular instance, when the buffalo just appeared and came to support the local people. So when there is good intent, that energy cannot be used. But if there's bad intent, then yes, that energy can be used. It's generally used by off-planet entities. Humans can't really do anything with that energy. It's not in their remit to do that. But if you're fourth dimensional and you have the ability to phase within the third and the fourth, then you understand non-physical intent and non-physical energy. And a black magician, of course, uses non-physical thought and energy all the time. So that's something that is used and grasped, and that's what ritual sacrifices are about, for goodness sake. That's what these things are. It's to feed off that energy that in itself is not negative but is fear-based. So that's why I've always said to people, if you're going to demonstrate, do it peacefully. because the establishment can't use their energy. They hate peaceful demonstrations because they don't know how to respond to it. So no, if groups of people have good intent, then nothing bad can use that energy. That's the first question.
Okay, so the second question. Excuse me. Oh, fairy dust. Anyway, the question. I have noticed, right, that Mother Earth or other light factions are in on the act of conception when a soul is entering a new life. They get checked and partly blocked. It says, redhead people are just old souls that should not have incarnated and are subsequently blocked in their own life energy container around the appropriate chakras. Do I say it right, that the past century the female body has been too much infested with reptilian DNA and is missing life energy, resulting in the fact that men live shorter than women only because they get sucked from life energy by their female partner? Wow. There's some controversy there.
Right, let's just hold on a second, because there's serious elements in with the humour here. First of all, I don't agree that people with red hair are prevented from incarnating on the planet or are blocked. That's just not the case, because redhead people do incarnate on the planet, so that's not right. But I understand where you're coming from. Red hair is a sign of reptilian energy, no question of it. But it's also a connection with a planet, because many people of Celtic background and lineage can have red hair. Now, if I was somebody really high up and was going to do something, I'd say, right, well, we need to manipulate the human race. We need to be able to be a bit like a chameleon here. And so red hair was chosen because it is the closest to Mother Nature. It's connected to the female link of the planet. That's why people from Ireland have red hair, many of them, from Scotland, and there are other places as well. But it's been usurped, and that's the best word here. It's been usurped by the reptilian agenda. That's the best way to put it. So no, the source, Mother Planet Earth, doesn't come in and say, you've got red hair, you can't be born. What the planet says is, you might be an interesting person who will have, for good or ill, effects upon my planet. So I'm going to get involved to try to counterbalance what the other side is going to do. And when I say that life's a game, I don't mean to dismissive as if it's something not important. It is like a game of chess, because one side does something and the other side seeks to bring balance, or tries to tip the balance, tip the scales the other way. So humans, males and females, at one time on this planet lived for hundreds of years. And the Bible is actually accurate in the Old Testament, where it talks about all the lineages of these people and how many hundreds of years they lived. There was the Methuselah, who lived for, was it 900 years or something? Seems impossible now. But what's happened, and again, there's no doctor that's going to agree with me, not until we get the truth out, and then these people can go and be re-educated in a proper doctor school, that originally the hybridization of humans, the gene that brings on deterioration of the body, the aging gene, wasn't there. It just didn't exist. So there was a natural but very slow breakdown of the body. So you could live for hundreds of years, as incredible as that may sound. And then when it became obvious to off-planet entities that humans were very clever, were catching on really quickly, and actually, if they were left to their own devices, they would outthink and outperform the very aliens who manipulated the human genetics in the first place. So what did they do? They had another tinker about, and they created a gene that reacts with sunlight. Again, the doctors only going to partially agree with me on this one, but sunlight is the cause of aging, actually. It's not just the cause of cancer, but it's the cause of aging, and it activates this particular gene in the body which says, oh, okay, it's like a clock. How many days of sunlight have we had? How many years of sunlight? How many years have we been through? It's time to start shutting the body down. And it is no coincidence that humans right across the planet generally live in a rough time scale. Okay, if you have a very poor food and diet, then yes, you're going to perhaps succumb earlier. But if you have a very well looked after diet, you'll live longer. But by and large, human lifespan is about average. And that's the same with all the mammals as well. Reptilians, of course, are different off planet, and their sort of namesay here, their reptiles, can live a lot longer. And remember, birds like parrots have a lot of reptilian DNA because they came from the dinosaurs, and that's now been accepted. When I was at school, everybody laughed and said, birds from dinosaurs? Nonsense. Well, in the last 30, 40 years, they accept that. And the other amazing thing when I was at school is that dinosaurs had scales. All the drawings that I ever saw on a book were of dinosaurs with these grey-green scales. Now, of course, we know that many dinosaurs actually had feathers and the scales were brightly coloured. So look how humanity has moved on. And the final question there is, which I think is in jest, absorbing energy. If you're in a good relationship with somebody, regardless of what it is, you shouldn't be trying to take their energy. How many times have we been into a room, got into a debate, whatever it is, or got into a relationship, and then the individual just wants our energy? They just want it for whatever reason. And it's terribly draining. Well, that's not a good relationship. You need to get into a relationship where your frequencies are about right. You need to get into a relationship where you both have the same energetic values. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, I collect stamps and I want to find a partner who collects stamps. That's just nonsense. But what you have to do is to find someone that is on the same frequency resonance as you. You know the old thing where the piano tester, he or she takes a tuning fork, whacks it, and then puts it on the string. Well, you think of two people. When you put the tuning fork on the two people, that frequency should be the same, and that's what works. So, yeah, some fun in the question, but some serious bits as well. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Yes, tuning forks, finding your own tribe and your own frequency. Yes. So, from Stefan. Keep up the courageous work. Question, are our higher dimensional family in Hollow Earth active in cleaning up the West Pacific after the Fukushima event and also clearing the sky from chemtrail pollution?
Very interesting question. No. It's more to do with the Pleiades and Andromeda and Lyra. The people of Hollow Earth do become involved, but they don't become involved on something of that level. That level, Fukushima, was a massive attempt to take out half of the biosphere. And again, you know, this is not widely understood, but there was a very big concerted off-planet effort to limit the damage. Couldn't stop it. Not without appearing in great big mile-long ships and doing stuff, but that would have been that would have then stolen the agenda and would have been disclosure by the wrong means. So the damage is severe, so there's no doubt about that, and anybody living on the west coast of America will know that. It was all done for terrible reasons. Hollow Earth coordinate things. And people from Hollow Earth have only just recently decided that they need to play their part in what I loosely call the game, that they can no longer have the indulgence of staying underground and saying, you know, to hell with those people on the top, let them get on with it. You know, you made the bed, you lie in it. That argument doesn't hold sway now. And, you know, they are officially now in there, working with and being involved with some governments and off-planet entities. It's a very complicated business because remember that Hitler was attempting to create bases down there as well. So that's my answer. There is off-planet assistance, but ultimately we on this planet have to clear up the mess.
Yeah, and we also have to stop all the mess being continually made more, you know. Okay, from Andy. Simon, is disclosure imminent? Dear Simon, greetings, best wishes and many thanks. In an interview with JP in May 2015, that's a long time ago, you said the Americans have been given a hard deadline for disclosure in 18 months, and if they didn't do it this time, the aliens would do it themselves. The time is now up. What is the status of this disclosure? It's pretty much happening, I'd say.
Right. One of the big points, no, this is a really good question. I don't know whether Europeans or British people will know this unless you've been following the election. But during one, I don't quite know what you'd call it really, but Hillary Clinton, before she had all her final health breakdowns, she was at a university or a campus. And she was taking questions from students, and the subject of disclosure came up. Now, instead of, as you would expect, the archetypal elite establishment lady turning around and saying, aliens don't exist, she actually said, if I become president, I will cause an investigation to get to the bottom of it, because I do believe there's truth in it. Now, that was because her administration was the one that was given the deadline. Okay? It was Obama, the Democrats, that were given the deadline by off-planet entities to either give the truth or they would come along and give their own version of what the truth is outside of the control of humanity. Now that we've got a new incoming president, there will have to be meetings between off-planet entities and the president, Trump, to the off-planet entities will be more amenable to understand what the agenda is. So basically, when Hillary Clinton lost that election, all of those agreements with off-planet entities ended. Well, not all of them, but the ones with the positive people, because you see, when negative forces do an agreement, they say to a government, you speak for the planet. And if you go out of office, it doesn't matter. Our agreement will last 10 years or 15 years. But when positive entities come to the planet and make agreements, they make an agreement with that individual ruler or that individual leader, because they understand that that leader was elected by the people for a term of office. So it's a very good question, and I hope that's a good answer. So basically what's got to happen is that Mr. Trump, who I don't think he'll be too phased by off-planet entities, he's going to have some meetings, just as President Putin has meetings with these guys. And I'll no doubt it'll feed back what those arrangements are. So thank you for the question.
Excellent. So coming to... Now, this is a very interesting question. You know, it's a generic question, but also, you know, people wear these things. So the question is, from Peggy, Dear Simon, what's the effect of wearing various gemstones? Are they good for certain purposes or at certain times? What about talismans? Thank you for your service. So people wear jewels all the time, don't they? What's the effect of wearing something that you don't know what the effect, I mean, like some people say that opals bring sadness and all that stuff, but you know, that's just an old wives tale-y thing, but there are genuine effects. People have crystal healings and all sorts of things. So, what happens when you wear rubies and diamonds and things like that?
Well, let's divide between the wealthy. Let's take the Queen of England, God save her.
He's going to need to, yeah.
Who wears and has the most enormous diamonds and rubies and sapphires and pearls and goodness knows what else. But they don't wear them. This is interesting. They don't wear them for their medicinal purposes. They wear them because they genetically connect to the minerals. I'm calling them minerals, not gems or jewels. And they say, I own the country that you're from. So if you have the Koh-i-Noor diamond, or any other mineral or rock, you would say, I have this because I own your country. And it is the symbol. So people need to understand. Now, other people, decent, kind, good, ordinary people, like minerals because they've got pretty colours. Others, because the system has said, we set these in precious metals, and you know, you need to buy them. You know, you need to buy these rings. You know, and they do that just to make money. But when you understand the healing qualities of stones, you understand that they have a frequency and a vibration, and different stones are, because of the vibrational rate, each mineral vibrates differently. Some are in comparison, compatible with others. Some don't work together too well. So, you know, if you have a collection of them, make sure that you put the ones together that will work together. Those minerals can be used. For instance, moldavite. I bought myself a piece of moldavite, and then for no apparent reason, it disappeared. And you know, you think, well, I've lost it. Because you don't go down the conspiracy theory route, do you? That's not the first thing you do. You think, yeah, I've lost it. And I bought myself another piece, and sure enough, within about 3 weeks, that disappeared. Never found it. I bought a third piece of moldavite, and within 2 weeks, that disappeared. So I lost three pieces of moldavite. So I had a chat with somebody, and it became apparent that if somebody else bought me moldavite, it wouldn't go because it had been bought as a present. And two people bought me moldavite and I still have them. So this is what I mean about the establishment controlling the truth on this planet, and particularly in the Western world. You know, that's a concept that 75% of the people in this country, I'm sure, Great Britain, couldn't even understand, that a crystal has a consciousness, not in the same way that we do, but it has a connection to the planet's memory, almost like the Akashic Records. That's what minerals do. They hold it. And the establishment understand that. That's why quartz crystals are used in watches to provide timekeeping. That's why rubies were the first, one of the first lasers, laser weapons, or medical weapons that they had on this planet. Minerals are important. The Roswell spaceship, the small skiff ship, had quartz-type crystals, four crystals in the very front, what I call the nose array, and they acted as a modern Doppler radar. Microwave radar would work. So the concept of crystals is only known to a very small portion of people. You could be a witch and you would understand the how crystals work. You could be a healer, use crystals, or you could be a big corporation in Silicon Valley in the States and you understand it. But the vast majority of people don't understand it. So yes, each crystal has its own vibrational frequency, and because of that vibrational frequency, it can do something for you. Don't like advertising books, but why not? Come on, JP, help me out. What's that lady who wrote, what's it called, the Crystal Bible? She wrote three or four books.
I've got a book called Love is in the Earth,
This is called the Crystal Bible, and there are four books to the series, and there's a picture of many crystals, and then it gives a list of all these energies and what it can do. And that actually, I found that to be accurate. So yes, terribly undervalued. Yes, I do believe that crystal, I mean, I can put my hand close to a piece of damborite and I can feel it. And it's tingling for my hand energy, or a piece of mineral, I can feel it. And I know somebody who is far more sensitive along those lines than I am. So it's a greatly underused resource.
Excellent. So here's a couple of things. One of our listeners, Lyra330, had a conversation with Trump, and she gave him some shungite and some crystals.
to protect him, yes.
Yes. So, and spoke to him about ETs for half an hour, she says.
Excellent.
I'm going to have to get on the book is by Judy Hall.
That's the woman. Fantastic.
That's it. Well, yeah, so anyway, there's, Anthea's got, opals as well. Yeah, there we go. All right, so, yeah, did you ever find out what happened to those Moldavites?
No, they just went.
They beamed themselves off. How bizarre. Well, my ones.
I don't know who took them or where they went, but because I'd bought them for myself, it wasn't deemed that I could have them. That's where it comes from.
All right.
Buys it for you, in my case anyway, then okay, they're a present, they can't take them, because to do so is to affect the person that's given them as a present. That's quite interesting.
How bizarre. Well, anyway, I bought this myself, so maybe I don't have the same.
Is it Moldavite, though?
A piece of Moldavite, yeah.
And you still got it?
Yep. It's in my 3D array. 3D star array.
I think it's your beard.
I think it's the beard. I was talking with Alex Collier about the beard thing the other day because, you know, these old, pictures of, Egyptian gods and yes. Sumerian gods, they've all got this long, curly, big, thick beard. And, you know, a lot of the native races of humans don't have beards, do they?
No, don't.
Yeah. So there's a thing there. Anyway, so here's a question, and this is an interesting question. This is about, well, hello Simon, hello JP. Simon, have you ever seen the Star Trek Voyager soul trap scene? You may have seen it, where Janeway dies. And, anyway, it says it's quite scary what happens to the captain when she dies. An entity disguises itself as her father and tries to trick her into the quote light. The captain says, "You're not my father, you're something truly evil."
Oh my goodness me, what I need to know is immediately, yeah. This is amazing, yeah. I need to know what year that was made in.
Right, okay, so if you
That is vital, that's really important. My goodness me, because that means somebody in Hollywood is trying to get the truth out.
Yeah. Yeah,
That's wonderful. Now, when did I go public with the light business? That's about 2 or 3 years ago, I think.
Oh, it's well before that. I mean, the Voyager's in the 90s.
Right. I loved the original Star Trek, and I have got that on Blu-ray, but I never really got into all the spin-offs or the follow-offs, and I've never really watched them, but I'm very au fait with the original series.
They all have some great nuggets of truth and information in them. I often find, you know, watching a random Star Trek is often like, it's a shamanic experience because they talk about what are my issues of that day in that episode. It always works.
Is that your own tarot cards?
Then? Yeah, exactly. It's my own. Maybe we could have the Church of the Star, Starship Engine, Church of Engine. Anyway, shut up. From Jai Joe Matthews, stop wasting time. Jello, JP and Simon, recently the Indian government decided to ban high-value notes due to 80% of the currency was rendered useless. A couple of shows back, Simon had mentioned the idea in India that India would be one of the few countries to come out relatively unscathed from the coming financial meltdown. Is India heading for an economic disaster? And is this decision to ban the currency the working of the banking cabal? Thank you for your hard work and dedication.
What's the name of the questioner, please?
Jijo. J-I-J-O.
Okay, I just made a note of that.
All right.
That's the most interesting question tonight. Right. This has nothing to do with the cabal. What happened in India was that maybe a quarter of the country's wealth was being, and the term everybody uses, the black market, I don't particularly like that word, but that's the word they use, was being got out by mafia gangs. And they were all using the 1,000 rupee note. So literally, Mr. Modi, who is the Indian Prime Minister, banned the 1,000 rupee note overnight. And you can only take like 4 or 5 into the bank each day to change them. And there are literally gang members, gang kingpins, sitting on huge, literally, piles of 1,000 rupee notes, and they can't do anything with them. This is what's causing the problem, because you can't go into a supermarket in India with the equivalent of a $20 bill or a £20 note and get changed. The average wage for each person in India is about £1.50 in English money a day, which would be about a dollar. Can anyone in America imagine working for $1 a day? So you can't have big notes because people can't change them, and those people don't have big notes because they can never afford them. So the notes that they would normally use to put their life savings away with, they can't actually exchange them. That's the issue. So this is not the cabal of banks trying to cause India a problem. It's India saying basically everyone's run out of money. There isn't a government in the world now that isn't short of, to use the technical term, liquidity. So what they're doing is they're trying to raid everyone else to get the money back. Now, at least the Indian government are doing it ethically. They're trying to hit back at drug dealers, arms exporters, all of the people who've been making money on the black market. The problem is that it's hitting the innocent, ordinary person. And the reason I take a great interest in this is that India is a country that would benefit from a different economic system. And very interesting, a person on another radio show was saying that this individual channeled off-planet entities, and that they were saying the planet had to move from a money-based system to a barter or a trade-based system. And that's not the first person who said that. And it would not surprise me if in 2017, India was one of the first countries to embrace a barter stroke trade system and began to move away from the concept of money. I believe everything is meant to be, and everything is meant to happen. And the situation in India has showed people that you cannot put your trust in paper money. Literally, you go to bed and you wake up in the morning and the bank is telling you, I'm sorry, we can't take your money. We've been told we can't take your money. And so that's rocked. It's rocked the whole establishment. It made it very difficult for Mr. Modi, because what he's doing is ultimately right, but unfortunately he's hurting a lot of honest and innocent people. So what he needs is a system that allows people to trade without the concept of money, which is actually how it's done on every other planet that I'm aware of. This is the only planet that I know that we use money. That it is the Babylon control system. And when it was forced upon humanity, a black magic spell was placed within it, and that's why you've got like the Bank of England, you've got all these places that are not very pleasant, that are the anchor point for a country's economy, to maintain the spell and hold the population down, because it is money that controls people. It's money that brings fear. How many times do people go to the supermarket and get the list out and check through, and they worry about it, and they make a note of it, and they know, have I got this money? Have I got that money? That's all fear-based, and we need to get away from it, because the system uses it to control us. If you don't do what we want, we will economically strangle you. You know, think about 2 years ago now, when Greece was on the verge of leaving the European Union, and they were going to take a vote, and they were told, if you vote this way, you'll have no money at all. And so people panicked, because what became more important to them was, if I had £100, £100 in the bank, then that's £100 I've got. And they won't say, could the future be better? What they say is, I must hold on to my ever decreasing little pile of money, until literally they've just got crumbs of bread in their hand, but they're still, you know, it's the drowning man holding on to a straw. We need to get away from money, and I think India would be an absolute ideal opportunity to try out something new and innovative that didn't rely solely on cash. So it's a really good question. I believe it was asked for a reason. Can't go into any more detail, but do watch this space. I'm thinking that 2017 should see some very big changes here. I'm not very good at pronouncing people's names because of my dyslexia, but I believe the woman who said that she channeled information that said the planet should move to a barter system was Barbara, is it Marciniak? Does that ring a bell?
Barbara Marciniak, the Pleiadian representative.
She has actually said that she channeled and she was told that the planet needs, this is recent, very recent, that the planet needs to move away from money towards a trade barter system, i.e. to copy what is done on every other higher human planet. And I can tell you that if humanity is ready for it, it will happen in 2017.
You know, I just want to add a little bit here because, we have, another host on this show is, Audrey Ewers, who is from the New Lyra in Pleiades. He's, you know, he wasn't born here. And he's at Standing Rock. And, you know, over the last few weeks, he's been speaking with us and we've been talking about, you know, ideal situations. And he said exactly that, that we need to become an Ubuntu society. Have you heard of that term?
Yes.
You know, after Michael Tellinger's concepts. And of course, Ubuntu means, you know, goodwill and generosity and stuff like that. Anyway, so he has now, he's now in Standing Rock and he's standing with everybody. And one of the marvelous things that he said was that there is an Ubuntu society in the Standing Rock community. That's what's happened. It is the most, people are saying you know, although the situation is almost like you think impossibly dire, it's really cold. Everybody is working with each other. It's a contributionist society and, it's, you know, people are in good morale because of it. So this is, I believe this is the beginning. You know, this is not some random thing, this protest. This is the beginning of a new society and it's happened because it's had to come right up against the New World Order.
You know, literally. I totally agree with you. And I said October, November would see some huge changes, predominantly on the economic side, but also with the consciousness of humanity. We had Brit exit. We've had Donald Trump. We have this potential with Italy. What's happening is that the predictions that the establishment had made are not coming true because the consciousness of humanity has overtaken the constricting tightrope that, you know, the establishment wants people to walk along. And so we will see sudden natural outpourings where people are saying no more. Well, however that may express itself, different communities express themselves differently. But ultimately, what happened at the American election, the Brit exit election, and at Standing Rock is that people got together in a non-violent way. And through force of numbers, they brought change in a way that the establishment couldn't ignore. So I'd absolutely agree with you that the door is already open and we will get issues now in the new year to come. That humanity, instead of turning its back or saying I'm disempowered, I'm a victim, I can't do anything, will naturally say I'm not having this, I'm going to do something about it. And you're going to find now that the establishment are going to be facing challenge after challenge after challenge, and something's got to give. And it won't be humanity that gives. It will be this small group of crazy people who've had it their own way far too long. So I absolutely agree with you. I don't think that was the start of it. I think the start has occurred probably in the summer of this year. But I think that what you've hit upon is the flag that's been raised above the parapet. Everything else before was part of an establishment system. This isn't. This is a group of very spiritual people who are connected with the earth and they are making a statement about their belief and their commitment. Now that's very hard for multi-corporations to get a concept of. It's like what I'm proposing to move away from money. If you are a corporation, your only concept is to take, to have, to make money and give back nothing. So when people then say, I have, I share, and I just want enough to keep myself going, that is a concept that the established system can't even begin to compute, because that's not how they work. So they'll just fry up, because sharing isn't something that these people do. It's hoarding. I'm looking forward to 2017. It's a really good point that person's raised.
Okay, so now, staying with the Far East, on a grand, this is from Mike from China, on a grand scale of world happenings, cosmic, spiritual, political, economical, psychic, and energetic, how do you see China and or Southeast Asia voluntarily or involuntarily participating in all the events that are yet to be embraced and experienced?
Well, the key here is that, sadly, from the lifestyle of Chinese people, China's on the way down. In the next 3, 4, 5 years, we're going to see India rising on a par, and within the next 10 years, India, probably between 7 and 10 years, India will overtake the economic production of China. Now, why that's very sad is that the Chinese have poisoned half their cities, half their water supply, to get where they've got. In my own country, Great Britain, it was only 4 or 5 years ago that they were buying all the recycled materials from Great Britain. So all the cardboard and plastic was being shipped out of Britain to China to reuse, because they were on this huge drive to build, and then suddenly the bottom fell out the market. Now they didn't want our rubbish anymore. So we don't export our rubbish to China, although perhaps China exports rubbish to many places, and that's what Donald Trump is saying. That'll be very interesting when he brings in trade tariffs to prevent imports from China. So let's watch that one. So basically, I think it's very exciting. China will have to embrace change, simply because it is not going to be the economic powerhouse in the next 10 years that it had projected itself to be. That's why it bought Deutsche Bank, because it's got the next 2 to 3 years where it's still at its peak before it begins to fall off. So whatever it can land grab in the next 2 to 3 years will set itself up as its bargaining tool. That's why it bought so many high-end properties in Sydney, Australia, parts of the States, and of course in London, in Great Britain. But I think the questioner is asking about non-material things. When a government like the Chinese begin to see how things are going, they've got two choices. They can either become introspective and go back to the days of Mao, or they can say, we're in a global economy, we are going to have to do this. And I think that nobody wants to go back to the days of that young man standing in front of a tank in the central square. But what they do want is a government that is prepared to engage with the West without bringing those cultures into their country. So I'm positive. I think that as India begins to overtake China in the next few years, China will no longer see itself as having to play the key stage, the big role, and perhaps will become more amenable. I certainly would like the Chinese government to be more to ease up on its citizenry than it is at the moment. Okay.
Okay, so right, I'm gonna take a deep breath before I pronounce this name. Bala Subramaniam. Perhaps a Far East name. All right, dear Simon, thanks to you and JP and everyone who's helping humanity to be free. It appears that there are major chinks in the control system. Icelanders throughout their lawmakers, Brexit, USA election of Trump, Indian people uprising against going cashless, French election, exposure of paedophilia and child sex trafficking and Satanism by Pope politicians and the wealthy in the UK and US, and today's referendum in Italy. Mm. Is the power elite finally falling out of power? Or is this just, you know, just a show?
I would wonder if, I mean, I don't write my scripts before I just come on the radio show live and I just do it. But if you read that question, you would think that person had been sitting with me 10 minutes before the show started, because nearly everything that I believe it's a female, has just put forward is something that is a key topic, and we've mentioned. Yes, you've answered your own question. It is a sign right across the planet, not just concentrated in one or two places, that consciousness, which affects the Chinese people just as much as it affects those in Iceland, but its development is either constrained or advanced by the rules and regulations of that country. So in Iceland, that had a very strong family and social connection, it was easier to break through. In a place like Great Britain or America or China, where the system is far stronger and tighter and more intermeshed, it's harder. So we see spikes, if you like, in different countries where consciousness breaks through. But the proverbial dam that we spoke about earlier, you know, the amount of energy behind this thin concrete wall is so great now, and the bad guys have got every sluice gate open they can to try to take the pressure off, but it's not enough. And so ultimately either the water behind the dam, the energy, will either overflow the dam and just wash away all the bad guys, or the whole dam structure will just crash and it'll break. So you are seeing evidence all over the planet of a fundamental change in humanity. And I do believe, in many years to come, history books, which will be written truthfully, not the lies they write now, truthfully will look back on these years as the years when humanity broke free. That's what I believe. I believe that the children, school children, if there's a school, if we need schools, but let's just use the concept we understand. School children will learn whatever medium of knowledge, whether it's electronic or psychic, however they are going to learn in the future, they will be taught that this period, the human race broke free. And people who had held control realized that it was all pointless. And that's what I think is going to happen. I don't think we're going to be wiped out. I don't think we're going to kill ourselves with nuclear bombs. I don't believe that aliens will land and zap us all. I think aliens will land and have meetings. And I think that this is the time that we celebrate. And you might be saying, well, celebrate? We're still in the middle of a battle. Yeah, we are, but we should celebrate because we are in that battle. If we weren't in this battle, it would have mean the bad guys had won and got us all controlled. The very fact that this is going on is proof positive that there is a huge outpouring of love. Best way to describe it. That was a really good question.
Marvellous. And it's a male name. Sorry,
oh,
Simon.
Okay, right. Well, I apologise. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm absolutely rubbish at understanding anything like that.
Bless your heart. So, now going back to that. Right. Now this is a really interesting question. This is from, one of my recurrent guests, Aurora, the Aurora Healing Tower. There's a couple of Auroras who have been my guests, so anyway. But this is really interesting. When Hillary lost to Trump, it had been reported that something happened that she could not give her concession speech until the next morning. When Hillary finally showed up the next morning, she was wearing purple lapels on her suit, and Bill Clinton wore a purple tie in the same color. Two colors I've never seen her wear during her campaign. Yes. It looked like me they were sending a message with the purple color. Do you think it was a message? And if so, what was the message?
Yes, that's well done for picking that
up. Hang on, there's a final part which everybody's going to love. Also,
really
could Hillary have shapeshifted because she was so upset the night before she lost? And is that why she couldn't give her speech the night of the election, because her eyes are going green with slits and stuff? No.
Well, I won't laugh at that, because it was highly possible that she would shapeshift because of that. She had shapeshift in the past, and that's why there was an attempt to murder her those years ago. My understanding of it is this. Hillary Clinton had been assured that she was going to win. I'm not clear. 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, 6 million votes that were fake were added to the ballots. These weren't electronic votes. They were real votes that were added. The absentee votes were added. And if you, by chance, can get hold of any interviews where newsmen and women were going out interviewing public before the election, in many cases, they couldn't find anyone who was going to vote for Clinton. And they really had to scrabble around to try to get someone to say they would vote for Clinton. Even people who said they'd vote for Clinton were talking about, well, you know, it's a bit difficult and there's no change really. I want change. And the camp that controlled the Clintons, which were the highest in the high, always knew there was a problem, but they believed they'd sewn it up with their votes and they promised Clinton she would win. Now, one day I hope the truth comes out. The amount of people who voted for Trump was massive, far more than we are told. And it was so huge that the elite couldn't prevent Trump's win. Now what happened, my understanding, and it's only me of course, was that she hit the bottle. She became drunk, and she physically attacked her advisors who had promised her that she would win the election. And she was so angry, she blamed them, not herself, of course, she wouldn't blame herself, but she blamed them for not giving her what they promised and what the deal was, that she would become president of the United States. So she got drunk and she physically attacked them. That's why I think it was John Podesta who at 3 or 4 a.m. came out and said, come back tomorrow, basically. Hillary's not coming. She was in no fit state to do that. It wasn't to do with shape-shifting in this instance. It was because she was having to be physically restrained because she'd become so violent. Now, that's the first part. The second part is purple. Purple is the colour on this planet of elitism, but interestingly enough, it is not the power of the elite. The elite usurp the colour purple. Purple was never given to humans as a sign of elitism, but they took it. So the ancient Romans had a purple toga, though the colour purple, their colour purple, we wouldn't understand that as purple today, but it was actually called the purple. The Queen of England, God save her, she actually wears robes with purple in it. So when somebody like the Clintons wear purple, what they're trying to do is to say they've had a massive loss and they're trying to, you can't do anything to me because I'm connected to the purple. I'm royalty. You can't hurt me. I'm part of the royalty. So it is a desperate arm or a game to try to, cover their image, so that people who perhaps now, who have invested huge amount of money in her election campaign, and there's no return on that now. Don't tell me in America you give $100 million to the Clinton campaign and don't expect something back. I understand that over $1 billion was spent by the Clinton campaign. $1 billion. And that money is largely raised by people. Now, some of that is coming from individual wealthy people. There's no return on that for them. So no wonder the Clintons are thinking about doing a runner, because there have been very angry people who imagined that they were going to get some lovely kickbacks once the Clintons came into power. So purple is the colour of elitism, but it was never given to humans to use. They've just taken that. My own off-planet connections, purple is the colour of wisdom. That's the best way to describe purple, the colour of wisdom. So when King Solomon used the wisdom, the judgment of Solomon, he would have worn purple. It's not understood, but basically on a regular setting, Solomon would sit in a set chair and anybody, no matter who they were, they could be the lowest of the low, could petition Solomon to have a judgment. So let's say, for instance, you go to court and you lose that court case, but you passionately believe that it's corrupt, then you had the right to petition Solomon and say, I want you to look at my case and overturn it. Now, the problem was getting through all the courtiers, or the people that Solomon had said, look, listen, I don't want to be bothered with this, this and this, but these cases are here. So purple is a colour of divine judgment, getting to the truth, not being corrupted, getting the sharpest knife, cutting straight through to the truth and saying, right, okay, that's what that is. So when somebody wears purple, it's low and woe is somebody who wears purple and has no right to wear it. And that's the Queen of England. She has no right to wear purple. And either Clintons have no right to wear purple. So, you know, people who dabble in that, they'll have a bit of problems coming to them. So it's a really good question. And we're nearly out of time, aren't we?
Good Lord, it's gone so quickly. Simon, I know I'm very sorry about the beginning of the show. So maybe let's have another 5 minutes.
Fine. But before we do, I've got another show on the 18th. Is that still on?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's nearly Christmas, but that will be our Christmas show.
So I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I don't do Christmas and birthdays.
I know, but what I would like to do is to have a Christmas jingle for our on our 18th show.
A Christmas jingle. All right. Let's see. If I add, hang on, I've got my effect here. Hang on. You see, I can add that to it.
No, but you've already had that. That's a boring one. That's Santa's sled. No, you've got to go. Your task is to go and find a Christmas jingle.
A Christmas, right? Okay.
An appropriate Christmas jingle, not just something off of bloody Coca-Cola.
I'll find something inappropriate.
No, don't do that. No. Something appropriate would be lovely. Let's see if you can find something.
Okay. Well.
All right. Let's go on for 5 minutes then to make up your chickens.
Yeah. And you know, there's a whole pile of Trump questions from Phil.
Let's do some of those. Come on, let's do it, because nobody want to ask that when he's a president, will
they? Exactly. Donald Trump surrounds himself in gold. His home at Trump Towers has gold everywhere. Isn't gold important to the Anunnaki in some way? Is Trump from an Anunnaki bloodline? Is he from an Illuminati family? If so, which one? Has America moved from the frying pan into the fire? Or are we able to hope for a better world with Trump?
Right. Had you had this is an American writing, is it?
Presumably, yes.
Okay, well, let's assume you are. Had you had Hillary Clinton, you would have had a world war within 5 to 6 weeks. So anybody was better than Clinton. Yes, gold is the colour of the Anunnaki, but it's also a life metal. In other words, if you are very wealthy on this planet, you know a bank crash is coming, then you will, if you can do it, you'll buy gold, whether it's gold coins or gold bars. Trump was always going to be president. That's why somebody very, very sent me an email saying you called Trump, you said Trump would win in February. And I did. Back in February of this year, I said Donald Trump was going to win the presidential election. This is all... It was all done. It was all agreed. It doesn't mean there wasn't going to be a fight and a battle. That's part of it. But it was always going to be Trump. Now, the reason that he's wealthy is because he couldn't have been president if he wasn't wealthy. If he was an ordinary Joe or Josephine, he wouldn't have been president. And that's why I was saying earlier that wealth gave him the protection to be president. Now, I'm sure there'll be things he'll do that we're not too happy with. But ultimately, there will be no Third World War while he's president. So, no, America hasn't gone from the frying pan into the fire. It's actually got out of the frying pan and is looking for the fire blanket. Next one.
Excellent. So, from Lou. Now, this is a kind of wrap-up. What can you tell us about Pizzagate and the paedophile crimes in the U.S., and who is involved, and what can Americans do to stop child rape, porn, and abuse? What can humans on Earth do to stop this? How do we approach this compassionately and stop it?
Right. The only reason that this information is coming out is because human consciousness now, and it's hard to quantify because you can't physically touch it, but human consciousness has now expanded so much that it can't be manipulated and contained in the way it used to be. You never heard of this before. Or if it did, it was one time and it was quickly stopped. Now every month there are new revelations coming out. And the reason for that is that the people who are doing these horrible things can't control the situation. Now, what can we do? Well, what's important is that we need to work together, just like you were talking about people stopping the black snake, the oil pipeline. If lots of people wrote, not to their member of parliament or their congressman or their senator, but wrote to the newspapers and said, I don't have any belief in the system. I don't believe there'll be a real change. And I reject the system that we have. If people who are stopped on the street by people doing a survey on radio or television, and they just suddenly say things like, look, you know, do I buy this soap powder? No, I don't, because I don't believe in the system. In other words, what I'm saying is, if everybody can use the opportunity to pass information to a wider group, whatever opportunity they're given, if they can expand that to say that as an individual, they realize that the system is using them. And for instance, if you wanted to talk about paedophilia, they can say, look how the system is protecting or organizing it. You can't go along killing people because they may or may not be paedophiles. That isn't going to take the cause forward. What is going to take the cause forward is if we can have a spark, and it can be on any topic, that grabs the public's attention. That's why Donald Trump, he was seen, I'm not saying Trump was seen as a good man, but Trump was seen as the only option other than Clinton. And if people can have a hobby horse, as we say in Britain, if they can have a message which challenges the elite, but doesn't say, I'm going to challenge you to a fight, but I'm challenging your right to rule. I'm challenging your right to tell us what to do. And by the way, you've got the court system sewn up and you've been abusing children for God knows how long, or at least you've been turning a blind eye to it. So what I ask people to do is, at every opportunity, don't sit now, because we're going now into 2017, don't sit in your armchair saying, oh, it's a terrible world, or spend hours on a blog site chatting away, but then go into the workplace and just have your head down and only speak your truth when you're at home chatting to your friends. You know, every person now, it's 2017 nearly, every person now, without causing a fight, without causing a huge amount of distress, needs to speak their truth. And if everybody who believes in the truth speaks it, then within a matter of a few weeks, the system will actually have to give. Because if it doesn't bend and give, it will just shatter. Again, I say to people what I always say, if 1,000 people went and sat outside a gas station, if 10,000 people went and sat outside a government building, if 5,000 people went and sat outside a supermarket, and said, we have a demand, and as long as that demand is realistic, it would happen, because people were acting as a group. As long as people keep their mouths shut, do what they're told, the system won't change. The system will only change when people voice their truth. I've said before that the military will do what it has to do, and we've seen that with Trump. Donald Trump, on his acceptance speech, said, I have 200, I'm quoting now, 200 generals and admirals behind me. Why did he say that? He said that because he was threatening anyone that if they tried anything to assassinate him or do anything, there would be 200 of the topmost military people in the States who would then turn against Capitol Hill. So he didn't cause any aggravation. He didn't start a war. He said, this is a threat. Now, if the ordinary public made an intended threat, I will do this, I will do that, we would then have change. So one of the things is, as long as people believe that the court system is there for them, we won't get change. The court is not there for the individual person. The court is there for two purposes. One is to actually ensure that the elite get the decisions they want, and secondly, it's to enforce fines off people, to take money off people. And the police force, I'm sorry, the police force are not there to catch criminals. The individual policemen and women are, that's what they believe in, and that's why they join. But the system that controls the police forces in the Western world is there to ensure that the police come round to your house to say, you haven't paid the fine, we're here to take you to court so that you can pay the fine. Because it's about getting money off people. Now, when people understand that everything, the whole machinery around them, was never there to protect them, it was there to keep them in the position, then we are going to get some very big changes. Now, sometimes people will go off and demonstrate, and there will be some problems, but I want the vast majority of people to act in a more constrained way. So what can you do to the question? The question is, don't accept what you're told. Don't believe what you're told and make your point. I don't believe what you're saying to me. This is just nonsense and lies. No, it's not going to go away. I'm not going to give this subject up. I'm going to campaign. I'm going to campaign. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to go to the press. I'm going to make my story across. And remember, it's a lot easier if there's two of you than if there's just one of you. So it's a good point. Thank you.
Thank you for that last question about policy informers and revenue collectors, as I call them. I tell you, it's really disempowering to them when you say, are you a police officer or a police constable? And they say, I'm a police officer, because they think it's more important. I say, all right, so that makes you a revenue collector. And it puts them into their own corner. Anyway, that's how I deal with these people.
I want one quickly. I know we're running out of time.
Go on.
Let's go on to quarter past if we can.
Yeah.
This was a personal friend of mine. I hadn't seen him for a long time. So it's a true story. I'm not going to give any names away. But it's a true story. And because it's true and it's first hand from him, it has more poignant message. Now, this will mean most people in Britain because I'm going to talk about a British police officer. But it will mean just as much, I think, to Americans or Canadians or Australians or New Zealanders. This gentleman was an armed police officer. Now, in America, that means nothing to you. But in Great Britain, we don't carry guns, and very, very few police proportionately carry guns. Now, he was one who was trained to carry a gun. And in Britain, we call them armed response officers. And it cost absolutely thousands and thousands of pounds, not just to train someone, but to keep regularly training them up. And one day, his inspector, which would be the equivalent of a lieutenant in America, came to him and said, here, go out and catch some speeders. And this man said, you're joking. My job is to be on standby in case someone with a gun or a knife goes berserk and I've got to go and shoot them. And you want me to go out with a speed camera and catch people. And this inspector, stroke lieutenant, said, and I quote, we're under target with the Home Office figures for the amount of money we're supposed to make. So that means that many police forces actually are given a target of how much money they have to make by catching people speeding. In the end, this particular police officer called over his sergeant and said, this is ridiculous. And the sergeant backed up the policeman and said, you know, you can't have this man going out doing this. You know, supposing we get a call, you know, at the other part of the county and this, you know, so he won the argument. Anyway, what happened was this particular policeman got sick, stress, totally disenchanted, realized the police force was not there to protect people. It was just there to make money. Now that is a true case. So, you know, there'll be police officers who will be shocked at that and believe that they're there to catch criminals. And that's why you joined, gentlemen and lady. That's why you joined and that's what you believe in. And thank God that you did. But I need to tell you that the system doesn't see you like that. The system sees you as a way to keep the populace down and to ensure that it makes money. So, you know, there's a policeman who had thousands of pounds spent on him and is now lost to the system because he had to leave, because he became disenchanted and he had, you know, stress levels because he realized that it wasn't the great job he thought it was. Isn't that sad?
A sad story to end our show, Simon.
Well, no, look, there's a happy story.
Yeah,
then.
Go on, happy
your
story.
Chickens your chickens are gone to bed and they're happy now.
They're all asleep and happy. And you know, when the sun goes down and the they all go into their coop, Roger, who's the rooster, sits right in the door. So you know, he's very protective, and it's always so sweet to see this. You know, it's like I'm being the guy and I'm protecting my girls. It's so sweet.
So lovely.
Anyhow, this is Wolf Spirit Radio. We'll be back with Simon Says after the break. Thank you very much, Simon. Have a lovely couple of weeks.
See you on the 18th, then. 18th of December.
18th. There we go.